What right did the United States have to destroy Manila to drive the Japanese out? The United States had no more right to the Philippines than the Japanese did.
Maybe our government then allowed.
Yeah, well, what kind of government? That's a stooge government that was set up by the U.S.
You mean just like the stooge government?
Yeah, the Japanese set up, right. But the Japanese are much better people than the Americans.
Yeah.
They have no right to destroy this city and to kill so many Filipinos to drive the Japanese. Now, you would have been much better off if Japan had won World War II. I was in Japan a couple of months ago. I saw a preview for the movie Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And they showed the Japanese airplanes coming in to bomb Pearl Harbor, and I applauded, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the theater applauded. Everybody was quiet. Fuck the United States. It's the worst country in the world.
Yeah.
It's the worst country not only in the world, the worst country that has ever been and hopefully will ever be.
Well, that's a pity coming from you, Bobby, because... We had done so much for America, for its prestige.
Well, I'm sorry I did.
Sir Bobby, you reminded me about Evans. You wanted to read something Evans on chess, but for a change we go something about chess. Grandmaster Larry Evans.
Yeah. Let's get into... He's a Jew, you know, of course.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah, you mentioned in our earlier interview.
Yeah. This is from Chess Life, which I call Chess Lies.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chess. Chess Life, March 2001. And this is a column called Evans on Chess by Grandmaster Larry Evans. Incidentally, it's very funny. His title is, he calls himself Grandmaster Larry Evans, right?
Right.
But he's a Grandmaster, right? Yeah, he's a Grandmaster. I'm not taking that away from him.
Okay.
But this fake, forged, counterfeit, pirated Batford edition of My 60 Memorable Games, supposedly written by me, but, you know, actually not.
Right. Yes, that's right.
It's all forged. They took away his Grandmaster title. Not in the original book, I said, with introductions by International Grandmaster Larry Evans. They just said, with introductions by Larry Evans.
Right.
He doesn't seem to mind that. He says that book is, he likes it better than the original edition.
Even without the title Grandmaster?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's, But listen to this. You know what? This is interesting. Just to show what fantastic liars the Jews are. And this is just... ordinary stuff for them. They just lie continuously about me, you know. Lying is, second nature to them. It's just,
how come you suffer so much lying from this,
Lying is the Jews, it's a way of life for them. If they don't like you, they will lie, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's read this. This is
Vow of Birth.
Vow of Silence, as I say. This is from Chess Life, March 2001. Question. Vow of Silence. This letter is from Robert H. Burns, Jr., Euclid, Ohio. This is not Robert Burns. This is B-U-R-N-S, okay? Somebody else. Robert H. Burns, Jr., Euclid, Ohio. Question. I always wondered why G.M. Bill Lombardi, a priest who served as Bobby Fischer's second against Boris Spassky in 1972, never wrote about that match. A friend of mine once asked Lombardi if perhaps Fischer had invoked the sanctity of the confessional. Bill looked at him and said, a very interesting theory. Why do you think Lombardi was silent?
Okay.
Answer. Lombardi was under a gag order. Fischer asked me to continue as his second after his match with Petrosian at Buenos Aires in 1971, but I couldn't promise to take a vow of silence. It's a sad fact that many masters make more from writing about chess than playing chess. Fischer later unsuccessfully sued Brad Dowdick, a journalist at Life magazine, for writing a book called Bobby Fischer versus the Rest of the World in violation of their written agreement. Now, anybody who would read this would think that Lombardi never wrote about the match, right?
Yeah.
But it was common knowledge that Lombardi did write about the match. He wrote a very, very long article, like endless article, for Sports Illustrated. In, I have the computer printout on January 21, 1974.
Yeah.
Yeah, entitled A Mystery Wrapped in an Enigma. You have the article here?
Oh, yeah. That's the article.
So, 1974, that's January, that's about a year and a half after the match. He wrote a very long article in Sports Illustrated all about the match.
Maybe Larry Evans forgot.
No way. Every chess player in the United States knew about. First of all, at that time, chess was very popular in the U.S., right?
Mm.
And furthermore, it was very unusual to have a long article, of a serious chess article, in Sports Illustrated, which is a popular magazine.
Mm.
It's a very popular magazine. I think it had millions of copies.
Right.
So every single chess player in those days knew about this article.
Yeah, right.
Any chess player over expert.
Right.
Knew about this article.
Right.
Every single master in the country knew about it.
Right.
Every single, you know, grandmaster, of course, like Evans, knew it, and especially Evans, who was a journalist. So he's simply trying to deceive the public. He knows perfectly well that Evans wrote an article about the match.
So he knew very well, no?
Yeah, of course, and just like everybody knew it.
Maybe.
Most people who don't know it are the many young people, many people today have, of course, forgotten about it.
Right.
But he's just an absolute...
Maybe he would say, oh, well, it was a mistake.
Yeah, well, the Jews, that's how they always like to cover themselves like that, you know. I remember the other day in Israel, the Jews killed five Palestinian policemen.
Yeah?
And they just said it was a mistake. We thought they were somebody else.
Oh.
You know. Or the other day in Israel, they set bombs into tents of three Bedouin women.
Yeah.
Horrible bombs with thousands of tiny darts in the bombs called flechettes.
What? This is the first time I heard.
This is a monstrous weapon, and of course it killed all three women. And then they said, it was a mistake. You see?
Yeah. Well,
also, the other day, they had a truce meeting in Israel proper, the independent state of Israel proper. And some people from the Palestinian Authority, the government, went from Palestine into Israel proper to meet with the Jews to have a peace meeting, right?
Right.
On the way back, before they crossed into the occupied territories, the Jews were shooting at their car, tried to kill them. This is mafia stuff. No?
Yeah.
The Jews are a mafia, criminal people.
Wow. Anyway, you're talking about...
Speaking of the Jews, yeah.
Speaking of the Jews,
you're speaking of the devil.
What?
I have an article here, very interesting. This is from the Philippine Daily Inquirer.
Yeah.
And this is called The Right Brew in Hebrew. This is Monday, July 2nd, 2001. And the Jews, as always, they're trying to wangle in garbage about the so-called Holocaust, which I've explained many times, never happened, right?
Mm.
And at the end of the article they say, of course we all know the fate that befell 6 million Jews under Nazi hands during the Holocaust years. If anything, this collection also proves the courage and resilience of Yahweh's chosen people after the diaspora. You know, but... It's very interesting. There's a picture here. I've seen her before. I have a picture here of the Israeli ambassador to the Philippines.
Mm.
And her name is Irit Ben Abba. And there's another picture of another woman from there. This is another woman is called Second Secretary Hagit Ben Yaakov.
Mm.
And a couple of Filipinos with them. But they've got two pictures. One is a picture of the Israeli ambassador, another of the second secretary. And this Israeli ambassador, I've seen her picture before. She has very short hair and a very mannish look on her face. This is her name, as I say. It is Ben Abba. She's obviously, I mean, to me, she's obviously a lesbian, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. And her second secretary, she has slightly longer hair, slightly shorter, slightly more feminine. She's her partner, I'm sure. So this Israeli ambassador is butch, you know. No question. She's a homo.
Oh, but that's going personal, Bobby. Maybe they have nothing to do with you.
Well, when you know when the Jews started, when they robbed my stuff in storage, 30 years of work, you know.
Yeah, I understand how it hurts. It pains a lot. Yeah.
Well, but it's not only that. They personally, Israel has gone after me. This book. By Eli, what's that? Eli Agur, no?
Yeah.
On my games, right? I forget the title of it. I have it in here. He's from Israel, and he's gone. You know, he's falsified game scores, falsified game positions.
Oh, of course,
the Israel itself is going after me. Not just Jews in general.
Uh-huh.
But Israel, yeah.
Anyway. But by the way,
I said, Eddie, I'm not saying it's wrong for her to be a lesbian. I'm happy. I'd like to see all Jews be lesbians and homos, and that'll solve the the problem with the Jews. There'll be no more Jews, no.
Maybe we take a little. Relaxing with your favorite music.
Yeah, this song is another side of Jackie Wilson, a little more upbeat. This shows his tremendous energy and sexuality. This is Shake, Shake, Shake.
You really love this Jackie Wilson, huh? Bobby is still fixing it there, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's all right. We'll get it a little later. Shake, shake, shake.
Okay. So, in the meantime...
Yeah.
Oh, you will check it first? So, you're checking it first, Bobby. What happened?
I had it, but...
Okay, you can check, but I will ask you something first.
Okay, okay.
Is that okay?
Okay, I can do two things at once.
You can do two things?
Yeah.
But when you play chess, you only do chess, I remember. You're so focused with chess.
They say Alexander the Great could think of three things at once.
Oh, how about you, too? He wanted me to touch on this, by Paul Collar. You know, the Fisher King. Much less Bobby or profile of a prodigal. Hi, Bobby?
Yeah, one second. Yeah, I have it now. Wait a second. I have it now.
And this is my Paul Collar. And I think you would like to touch on the, world champions Ali Kine and Capablanca that match played in Buenos Aires. I think in 1936, when was this world championship? In Buenos Aires.
No, I think it was 26, 27,
right. It was the first to win six games. The winner, the one who wins six games becomes a champion. But I only realized yesterday, Bobby was telling me that in case of 5-5, Capablanca retains. I didn't know that much close was existing. And I think the reason why Bobby would like to touch on this is that because I think there was many write-ups regarding that scheduled match with Karpov in 1975. But it was first to win 10 games. Hey, Bobby?
Yeah. Okay. This is an article that was written it was on the internet by Paul Collar.
Yeah.
Now this guy is my enemy. I've read this article a number of times.
Right?
He has insane hatred toward me.
Right.
Look what he says in this article. This is from www.chesscafe.com. He says that the late great 20th century have Capablanca versus Alekhine, or the first Botvinnik versus Tal matches to be proud of. At least they were fair and mercifully apolitical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you now, what were the conditions of Capablanca Alekhine that he says were fair and mercifully apolitical?
No, the condition was that
the first player to win six games wins the match. Draw is not counting.
Right.
But if the match was tied 5-5, the money would be split equally, and Capablanca would retain the title.
Is that really?
Yes.
So
in other words, Alecky would have to have won the match by 2 points.
Right.
He had to win at least 6-4.
6-4.
Right.
Right.
In the actuality, he won it to 6-3.
Right.
But he had to win at least by 2 points. And he says that was fair. Now, what was it that the press attacked me on and said, I'm a crook, I'm a coward, and I'm a hypocrite? Everywhere, all over the world, they said this, including the United States.
Really?
Yes.
But at the time, your relation with the U.S. was still...
No. The Jews were always against me.
No.
They said, I'm a crook, a coward, a hypocrite, because I said that my conditions were the first player to win 10 games wins the match, draws not counting, but if the match is tied 9-9, the champion retains the title. Which,
maybe
at least as fair as Capablanca.
No, yours is fair.
Mine is even fair, yeah.
Because it's longer.
Yeah, right. The challenger has a better shot because he has to be beaten 9 times.
Right.
To lose his opportunity to become the world champion.
Right. Right.
And I just want to prove that this poor Kolar, who made this statement, is my enemy, okay? There's no question he's my enemy. I read this before, but here's what he says about me. He says, for example, and please believe me that I do not do this out of spite or rancor. From the earliest days of Fischer's career to this very day, he has been labeled brash, arrogant, selfish, self-centered, boorish, loutish, cruel, unreasonable, difficult, impossible, inconsiderate, ungrateful, petty, petulant, sulking, crass, insensitive, irrational, contentious, argumentative, aggravating, insulting, crazy, wicked, and mad. I would tend to agree. That's what he answered. Yes, I would tend to agree, he says.
Huh.
This is not my friend. He did not say that to help me, right? He did not say that that match was fair to help me, right? I'm going to read that part again. What he said about this Capablanca Alekhine. In the late, great 20th century, as Capablanca versus Alekhine, or the first Botvinnik versus Tal matches, to be proud of. At least they were fair and mercifully apolitical and hysteria free.
Uh-huh.
I rest my case.
Okay. For a change, we go a little bit lighter because we have some callers. We have some callers.
Yeah. Let's hear some callers.
So, here they are asking, he said, what are your other recreational activities? Well, he said here, music, and then movie.
Yeah.
And then, what other recreational activities?
I like the movies.
Yeah,
movies. Pop music.
Pop music.
I like reading. I read a lot.
Uh-huh.
I listen to the BBC.
Uh-huh.
I listen to the VOA even.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep up with what the enemy is saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I watch CNN. And I listen to CNN on the radio. They have sometimes news, their own radio news sometimes.
All right.
Now I've been taking up tennis again. I got me some good sneakers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
From my sister-in-law or brother-in-law, no?
From the States. But it's hard to get my size, you see.
But it's from the States, Bobby.
I also have some dollars in my pocket. What are you going to do?
That's true. But you told me your dollar. What happened to your dollar? You said you are...
Yeah, this is true. In my money in Switzerland, I am out of the U.S. dollar.
Really?
Yes.
I
sold all my dollars for Swiss francs.
How much is that?
That's got about 3 million plus left, yeah.
Well, but it's no longer in dollars?